I'm Carol Hills, and this is The World. Resolving conflicts can sometimes take a long time. Often it seems the sides will never see eye to eye. But every now and then, all that wrenching negotiation can be worth it. Take the case of Canada's Great Bear Rainforest. 20 years ago, it was squarely in the sights of logging companies. Now, a deal reached earlier this year has turned the tables. But the story of the fight over the Great Bear goes back even further. Here's The World's Andrea Crossan.
In the summer of 1993, everyone I knew was chaining themselves to something. Where I grew up on the west coast of Canada, a fight had begun over trees. Environmentalists and Aboriginal communities united to stop a company from logging a remote place called Clackwat Sound on the far western edge of Canada.
They can't arrest us all!
More than 12,000 people blockaded a logging road into Clackwat. Some chained themselves to bulldozers, others to trees. Almost 1,000 people were arrested in the largest act of civil disobedience in Canadian history. Australian rock band Midnight Oil even gave a concert in Clackwat that summer to support the protesters. It was the start of what became known as the War in the Woods. And if it was war, Valerie Langer was a general.
Oh, I've been arrested several times, yes.
Langer is a lifelong environmental campaigner. She helped organize the blockades back in 93.
I served time in jail for peaceful, nonviolent civil disobedience.
Along with 3 months of daily roadblocks, Langer and her fellow activists launched a second attack, this one aimed at the wallet of the forestry company.
We were going around to their customers, getting contract cancellations. Hundreds of millions of dollars of contracts were canceled. So it was a very bitter conflict.
For the logging industry, it was bad for business. For the government, it was a fiasco. And it finally agreed to halt logging in Clackwat. 7 years later, the area became a UN Biosphere Reserve. But the logging war that began with that roadblock was hardly over. The next battlefield was an even more remote place called the Great Bear Rainforest. The Great Bear is massive, almost 16 million acres, and it's home to 1,000-year-old cedar trees and some of the rarest animal species in the world. 20 years ago, forestry companies held licenses to log 95% of the old-growth forest in the Great Bear. But the BC government didn't want more blockades and boycotts, so it brought the environmentalists, Aboriginal leaders, and forestry companies to the bargaining table to try to figure out together how much of it would be logged and how much would be preserved. It was an almost unprecedented approach, and almost no one involved thought it would work.
I remember walking in and being faced by at least 3 or 4 really large middle-aged men, usually with large bellies, who are like just physically really imposing in a room.
That's how lead environmental negotiator Jody Holmes says it began. Forest industry negotiator Patrick Armstrong says the animosity was thick.
One of the industry participants almost left the room because he was looking across the table at a representative of Greenpeace. He thought that this man was going to grab him by the neck. It got that tense.
I got there before the rest of my First Nations colleagues, and so I grabbed a coffee and sat down at the table.
This is negotiator Dallas Smith remembering his first day at the talks. Smith represented 15 Native American groups.
And one of the stakeholder reps sat down beside me, and just as my chiefs walked in the room, the stakeholder rep leans and says to me, "I can't believe they let these goddamn Indians into this planning process."
So that's how it started. Stereotypes and prejudices. Holmes says that the group worked with a mediator to try to steer away from the stereotypes. The mediator had them eat meals together after meetings. He encouraged them to talk about their kids, their spouses, their lives beyond the negotiating table, to help build relationships that might bridge their differences. Dallas Smith says a major breakthrough came when the negotiators got fogged in and couldn't fly home after a meeting in a small remote town.
The local tavern had a $2 a drink night, and everybody, all the stakeholders, local government, we all just got schnuckered together. And the next day, when we got back into the meeting room, everybody was so hungover but had fun the night before dancing and just having a good time that we were able to just sort of get past some of the crap that always started every meeting.
To see each other as human and respect each other's interests. Forestry companies want to make money. Environmentalists want to save forests. First Nations groups want to have a say about the land where they live. So they talked and fought and stormed out and came back for thousands of hours, over 20 years. And then this happened.
This decision protects 85% of the old growth and second forest growth. It preserves land with cultural...
On February 4th of this year, B.C. Premier Christy Clark formally announced the Great Bear Rainforest Agreement.
And it includes more protected areas for freshwater ecosystems and species as diverse as the grizzly bear and the tailed frog.
Going into the talks 20 years ago, 95% of the Great Bear was going to be logged. By the end, 85% of it was protected from logging. The deal is seen as a huge win for environmentalists, but industry negotiator Patrick Armstrong says that it's a recognition that times have changed.
The outcome is actually a pretty good outcome for the industry. As important as having areas to log is where those areas are and what kind of forest are on those areas. So I think it's a good deal for the industry, but it is a major win for conservation.
Still, it was a grueling process. Jody Holmes says it was like childbirth.
If you knew what was ahead of you when you started, you would never do it.
The war in the woods that began in Clackwat Sound has ended, at least for now, in the Great Bear. But the 20 years of negotiation produced more than a landmark deal for one place. Campaigner Valerie Langer says it's also a template for what could be done elsewhere.
In the Amazon, in the boreal of Russia, in Indonesia, you have the same kinds of issues. You're logging too much, you're mining too much, you're taking too much water out of that river. These are common problems. So the model of the solution is the biggest victory, I think.
Dallas Smith says he's already been consulting with other Aboriginal groups about the deal.
In the South Pacific, the boreal forest here in Canada, the Himalayas, where we can talk about some of these things, and hopefully the time frame can be a little bit shorter now that somebody's actually broken the ice.
For Valerie Langer, it's been a long road since those days on the Clackwat blockade in 1993. She's still a big believer in civil disobedience. Just recently, she was arrested for protesting a pipeline expansion in B.C., and she says all the effort is worth it when you get to save a place like the Great Bear Rainforest.
It just goes on and on and on. And you fly over one fjord and over the valley and into the next fjord. The archipelago of islands just are sparkling off in the western sunlight. Everywhere you look, you're just looking at beauty.
She told me I should see it for myself. So I did. And that's where we'll be going tomorrow. For The World, I'm Andrea Crossan.
Tomorrow, Andrea tells us about another battle going on in the Great Bear Rainforest, this time over hunting. And she gets up close and personal. With an 800-pound grizzly bear. That's tomorrow on The World.